Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
I'm Matt.
And today we're discussing how to save money on a new phone.
Joel, how's it going, man?
Fantastic, buddy.
I was reading a CNN Money article, and they were talking about financial independence, which is interesting to start to see mainstream media outlets covering financial independence, right?
Wait, I thought CNN was fake news.
Yeah, they are. That's why we're talking about it.
All right. Yeah. So this, the New York Times like kind of started this domino effect.
Have they done it as well?
Yeah. So,
oh, nice.
Well, so that's where there was an article a few weeks ago about, you know, some of our friends that we know in the movement, Mr. 1500, who's donated beers for this podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
Was featured in the New York Times.
Carl?
Yeah. And so I feel like it's this cascading effect. So tell me about CNN Money.
It. So they were addressing early financial independence and how it's achievable. And they gave examples of, if you make $50,000, this is what you're going to have to do if you want to retire in, say, 10 years. Or if you make $100,000, this is what you'll have to do. They just essentially gave a bunch of examples. It was an okay article.
Yeah.
But what I found most interesting is that they linked to the financial independence calculator that we've recommended in the past.
Oh, nice.
The Networthify one.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And I don't know. It's something about that. Seeing how this is something that we've talked about. And like you said, it's something that's sort of catching on in the mainstream. And maybe what I'm saying is that you don't need CNN because that's what we're talking about. And well, listen to us instead.
Yeah, the thing is, it's sadly, when a lot of these major publications cover financial independence, they completely seem to get it wrong. And the way they cover it, it's like this novelty, or the way they describe it, I feel like they miss the heart of it so much of the time.
Yeah.
So I would rather, you know, if I were wanting to know more about financial independence, there's some great podcasts out there. There's some great blogs. There's just so many good resources that I feel like a New York Times or a CNN Money article, they kind of let the casual reader know, hey, this is something that exists. But
it's not very compelling.
Yeah, that's the only thing the casual reader is going to know about financial independence, and they're going to kind of miss the boat, because to know what it really is, truly, I feel like you have to listen to the people that are actually living it, and just those quick interviews, just like anything else, right? A quick interview, a couple quotes, you're just not going to understand what it's all about. And that's why I think the comment section on, you know, articles that look just like in the New York Times, and I'm sure it was the same on the CNN Money article, the comment sections can just be terrible, because
folks like rip into it because they're saying, oh, I can retire in 5 years. Sure, if I live off $7,000 for the year.
Yeah.
Which is the example that they gave. It was like $7,000 or $9,000 for the year. And they're like, granted, this is pretty extreme, but it's doable. And I think most people, even us, would say, man, that is crazy.
Yeah.
And discouraging at the same time.
No doubt. Yeah, but I think that the problem with those articles is, yeah, they either go too extreme, or they have a couple of pithy quotes, and it's just hard for the new reader to understand it. And so they usually write it off wholesale without thinking about it. And the bummer is, there's so many great people in the space, and financial independence, we think it is a worthy goal. And we covered that on a recent episode of the show.
That's right.
And there's just a lot that you have to think through when it comes to that, though, because it is this more than just being smart with your money. It is kind of wholesale life changes that you have to make in order to think about financial independence well. And so we want people to start thinking differently about the way they live life, not just deciding that they need to save 50% of what they make starting tomorrow. It's interesting that it's coming into the mainstream, but also I don't expect a whole lot of new converts, because usually those articles are poorly done.
But yeah, you mentioned the financial independence episode that we recently recorded. If you are interested in that and our thoughts on that, listen back. That was, maybe a few weeks ago. You'll be able to find that one.
Yeah, Matt, I wanted to let you know real quick that I am just about to sign a new lease on one of my rental properties.
Oh, nice.
And so I don't know how you feel.
It's a tough time of year to get a new tenant in, right?
It is. Yeah, I hate renting out a house kind of in the late fall, kind of going into winter. But fortunately, I found a good tenant. I ended up letting my current tenants go month to month because they've been so good, and they were shopping for a house, and I wanted to, you know, kind of be kind to them in that way. And it worked out. They found something right around the corner from us. Actually, they're staying in the neighborhood. Found some good new tenants, and I'm doing my first ever 2-year lease, which I'm excited about. And I wanted to mention this one thing, and I feel like you and I have had the same experience in this. one of the common mantras of real estate investors is that you kind of have to build in a certain amount of vacancy time for your properties, right?
I think typically they say 5 to 10% for the year.
Yeah.
Lost in vacancy.
So you're talking about essentially building in a month where your house or apartment or whatever it is not rented. I don't know about you, man, but I literally have never had a day of vacancy
yes.
on any of my properties. And I'm kind of anal about it. Like if my tenant, current tenant's moving out on the 30th, I want my next one in on the 1st, and I will work until 3 a.m. in order to make sure that the paint is touched up, everything's clean, and completely ready for the next tenant to come in. And I just want to let people know out there, like, I think it's probably wise, right, to figure that in into your metrics when you're thinking about buying a rental property. You know, factor in a little bit of that downtime.
But yeah, I mean, if you're busting it out, then that's money in your pocket, right? Those are expenses that you don't have to swallow. And, you know, on the rentals, some of the rentals we have, we're looking at close to $70 a day that we'd be missing out on. So, man, I'm completely with you. So in 5 years, same thing. We have never had a single day where there wasn't a lease signed. Like, they didn't necessarily move in right away. But yeah, I'm with you, man. I want it to be, if not the very next day, like there being one day lag in between, and have the cleaner set up, have any other work that needs to be done scheduled on that day.
Yep.
That way, yeah, the lease can pick up right where the other one left off. Yeah, you're maximizing that revenue from that property, man. I'm totally with you. That's funny. I don't think we've ever talked about that before, but because they do say that, yeah, they say build in vacancy time, and that's built into my equations. But in reality, we try to, yeah, we crank it out even more.
Yeah, man. So I just want to encourage people out
there. Awesome.
There are a lot of reasons. I think a lot of common reasons that people decide not to get into the rental property game. And, you know, one of them is tenant horror stories. And I think there's a lot of ways to prevent that. And we need to do a podcast specifically about that coming up soon. I'd love to do that, because I think there are a lot of ways that you and I have built in to find good tenants and make sure we have good tenants in there every time. But then the other thing is, well, what about these things that are going to cost me money? And one of the biggest things is having your home, your apartment, whatever it is, vacant for a while. And you want to avoid that. And so I think doing it like this and just forcing yourself to have that essentially really hard day where one tenant moves out and you get in there and get it clean, get it ready for the next person, make sure it's tip-top shape. I think you can do that. And I think that's just a good goal to set when you're turning over a rental property.
Yeah, man, that's right. And let's see, tonight we're drinking a beer by New Belgium. It is the French Oak Saison. It is a barrel-aged sour farmhouse ale.
I found it on the discount shelf, and we will give you the tasting notes at the end of the episode.
You love getting those deals, man.
You know it, buddy. Yeah, so on to the topic at hand, Matt. How to save money on a new phone. The newest iPhone just came out, and it's really expensive. It's more expensive than any other iPhone ever released, and the top model costs anywhere from $1,100 to $1,500. That's a lot of money.
That's the X something max.
I don't even know, man. There's all these letters.
It's like
after
all the
X.
Letters and abbreviations. It's like a degree. It's like the iPhone raised to the third power with the PH max.
It's funny to me that the iPhone releases are still as popular as they are. The media seems to cover them like
it's still an event, dude. It's a huge deal. It's insane. And if anything, I feel like it's kind of ramped back up. I think there's a period there in the middle where it wasn't as big of a deal. But lately, like the past couple, two, three releases, it's blown back up again. I feel like I hear more and more folks talking about it. And
where they're like, essentially going to tell us the really small incremental changes they made to the phone that looks exactly the same as the previous generation. Yeah. It's just crazy. And they're charging so much money for these phones. And so the problem is that cell phones are getting more and more expensive, as evidenced by the newest iPhone and by the Samsung phones. These top end phones are getting really, really expensive. But at the same time, there are a lot of really great phones at really reasonable prices, and we'll kind of get into that a little bit later in this episode.
I think one of the reasons, too, that they're getting more expensive is it's natural, right? Like, they're tiny little computers, and more these phones, our smartphones, are able to do incredible things that we didn't ever think was possible. And some folks are even foregoing getting a computer at home at all, right? You just have your work computer, say, if you go in, or sometimes you have a laptop or something like that. But then you've got your phone, and everybody works from your phone, and you do everything from your phone because it's easy. You can stick in your pocket. And so from that standpoint, I kind of get it, because sure, phones are getting more expensive. They're also doing way more.
Yeah, there used to be a lot of things that you wouldn't do on your phone that you actually go to a laptop or desktop for, right?
Or so, go to your actual flashlight, you know?
Instead
of using the flashlight on my phone.
Who does that anymore, though,
dude,
right?
I use my phone flashlight so much.
Same here.
Like, sometimes I won't even flip on the light switch, like, in the house, because I'm just like, I don't want to turn on the lights. I just want to see where my cup is so I can get some water.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I swear, I'm signing documents and doing all sort of, like, real estate transactions, yeah, like, on my phone now, where I used to go sit down at a desktop computer to do those things. I used to be like, all right, I got to get my computer out. And now your phone, it's just easy to do all those things. Yeah, but the crazy thing is, at the same time that these high-end phones are getting more expensive, and granted, they can do more, but there are cheaper phones that can do just as much,
right,
that have essentially the same capability, but they are a quarter of the price. And so we wanted to talk about this because there are a lot of reasons that consumers are falling prey to spending more money on a phone. And part of that is advertising. A lot of that is this need for the latest technology and fear of missing out, right, on the newest phone. And if they don't have that, somehow they're inferior to their friends or other people around them that do have the coolest new phone. It's become more of like a status symbol, really.
Dude, I totally agree with that, especially as I feel like cars are becoming less the sort of status symbol because our generation just isn't driving as much, or because we're living in cities, we don't quite have the need for cars. And yeah, phones, man, phones are totally becoming a status symbol. Another reason too is that manufacturers, phone makers are planning in obsolescence with phones, just little pieces of technology that could make phones better. It's like, well, maybe it'll make it better. Let's just go ahead and plan it into the next generation of the phone, right? So I've always had iPhones, right? And I specifically think of the old charger, which was the 30-pin, I think is what it was called, the old connection.
Yeah.
And then they changed it to the Lightning connector, which was cool. It was a lot smaller. Dude, I've had so many problems with the Lightning connector. And I'm pretty sure it's because my kids put it in their mouth. But like something about it, it like short circuits, and I've had to get so many new Lightning cords, and I never had to get a new 30-pin connector for a phone before the phone actually died.
And let's be honest, Apple's probably making almost as much on freaking Lightning cables.
Dude, easily.
As they are on the phones themselves.
Like those and the little power blocks.
No doubt. You don't need to get the latest and greatest phone. Matt and I don't care what phone's in your pocket. We actually hope that you have a cheaper phone, and we will laud you for it. So we wanted to encourage you. You don't need the latest and greatest, and also give you some tips on how to save on that upgrade when you do decide to get a new phone.
That's right, man. So let's go ahead and get to some of these tips. Might seem like a no-brainer, but keep your phone as long as possible. Phone upgrades are happening on shorter and shorter cycles, right? And everybody does naturally want the latest and greatest. Fight that urge, you know, resist it. We talk a lot about swimming up current, you know, like the little salmon kind of swimming upstream. Don't get sort of swept away by advertising and the consumer culture. Just resist it. It's probably not even something you realize you needed, you know, until you see that there's a new one. It's one of those things where you find a reason to get it, and it can be so easy just to fall into those sort of consumeristic ways.
I want to say too, a new to you phone feels new. And I was really encouraged by a friend recently. I saw them post that they bought the iPhone 6S, right? Even after the iPhone 10 just came out or whatever it is. And
it seems so far away, like 6, 7, 8, 9.
I know. I'm
like, like, how many years has it been?
How old is that phone in actuality?
What's crazy is that it hasn't been that long,
right?
Right. The 6 only came out, I think, like 2, maybe 3 years ago, they announced it. But what they just announced the replacement to the 10. And yeah. So it makes it sound like it's, oh, you've got the 6? What is that, like 5 years old?
Yeah.
But it's not.
Right. So yeah. She ditched the 6S and she had the 5 before that.
Uh-huh.
And she was talking about how awesome it was to have this newer phone that, you know, was lighter and had a lot more features than the phone that she previously had. And so for most people out there, I want to say a new to you phone, like a 6S costs very little now. It's like $175 if you find one on sale. And you can find something like that and be just as wowed when you get it in your hands because it's new to you. I also wanted to say, know when and where to buy. If your phone is getting long in the tooth, try to purchase a new one around Black Friday or Cyber Monday when there are lots of deals. And so I did this last Black Friday. I bought an LG G6 because I'm an Android guy, unlike Matt.
Apple for life. That's me, man.
Whatevs, dude. That's why you're wearing your turtleneck tonight, huh?
With my wireframe glasses.
Yeah.
It'd be just like Steve.
So I got this sweet LG G6, which is like a $500 phone for $120 last Black Friday.
Yeah, you actually almost swayed me over to the Droid side last year because you're like, dude, this is a killer deal. And I looked at it and I said, dude, this is a killer deal. And I almost got it, but I didn't.
Yeah, so my phone was like literally just kind of on the fritz that week before. And it was this perfect timing where I was able to sign up for this. And it was a carrier-specific deal. And Matt, we've mentioned this before on the show. And actually, next week, we're going to talk about how to save money on a cell phone plan. But we're on Sprint. And this was a Sprint-specific cell phone deal. I got it for $120. It's still, that phone is still selling for like $400 now. So I wanted to mention that where you buy and when you buy can have a really big influence on how much money you're going to pay for that phone.
Yeah, man, I actually had the iPhone SE and I got that at a Black Friday as well. 2 years ago, I got it. There was a big sale and I got it either for $150 or $200. So Apple doesn't sell it anymore, but brand new on Amazon, you can still get it. And it's still $200.
Oh, wow.
Which is insane. I basically got it at that price 2 years ago. And it's actually in pretty bad shape because I dropped it a bunch and the screen's cracked and the glass is falling out, that kind of stuff. But yeah, to know that I got such a good deal way back then, just, yeah, it makes me happy even now.
Yeah. One thing I want to say is a general rule of thumb that is applicable most of the time. Don't buy a phone from your cell phone carrier. Now that contracts are a thing of the past, carriers are not the best place to get a phone. It's best to shop around. Sites like Best Buy and Amazon can often have cell phone deals. And one of the best websites, in my opinion, in all of the internet to find out about cell phone deals is a site called DealNews.com. So if you are specifically in the market for a cell phone, start perusing Deal News and find out, you know, what are people charging and what phones are available on deals. And just be flexible. I think if you're flexible, that's how you're going to find the best deals.
Yeah, man, those are some great tips. Next, we're going to talk about what to do with your old cell phone in order to kind of offset the cost of that new one. But first, let's take a break. All right, man. So yeah, like we just said, selling your old phone is a way to offset the cost of a new phone. And there are a few different places where you can sell it yourself. Places like eBay or Gazelle. Or even taking it to an eco ATM, you know, where they'll take your phone and recycle it there for you. Those are all great options. However, you know, eBay, you're going to get the most money, especially if you have an account or a user profile that you've had up for a while. Do you have a long-standing eBay account, Joel, with sweet feedback, with the stars?
I have a long-standing eBay account, and I've sold a few things.
A few things, okay.
I purchased more things on eBay than I sell.
Right.
But enough to be able to sell things here and there, but exactly. I'm definitely not a mega seller.
Nice. Yeah, I'm not a mega seller either, but for a while there in college, my roommate Andrew and I kind of got into a battle where where we were racing each other to get to the next star because they have like different color stars. We're treating it like like different color belts in karate. Like you get the green belt or like the, I don't know. I never took karate.
You guys were like going Mario Kart on eBay.
Dude, we totally were. You'd be like, guess what? I just got the 30 transactions. Blue star. It's like, you're such a nerd, dude. But that being said, eBay, yeah, you are probably going to get the most bang for your buck there, especially if you can take a decent picture. We talk about spring cleaning your life. That was an episode we did several months ago now back in the spring, but you're going to be able to definitely get top dollar for your phone there.
Yeah, eBay is going to be the place with the most buyers. There are great companies like Gazelle that make it super easy. Eco ATM as well. Same kind of thing. It's super easy to sell your phone, but you're just going to get a lot less money that way. Also, consider Facebook Marketplace. That's kind of taking off. I would avoid Craigslist altogether. You probably won't get as much money in the scams, especially when it comes to smartphones. They're super prevalent on Craigslist.
Dude, Craigslist is just getting sketchier and sketchier. You know, like having social media and being able to use that platform to sell things. There's just so much more trust in there because you can see somebody that's selling something and you can see, oh, they're friends with 10 of my friends or 10 guys I know in the neighborhood, that sort of thing.
I was a fan of Craigslist for so long.
Oh, yeah, us too.
And I feel like I just recently kind of started to go down the path of, well, yeah, Facebook's actually kind of made Craigslist almost irrelevant.
Yeah, man, it really is. And one of the reasons, one of the hurdles I think that a lot of folks have to selling their phones quickly and not just sort of keeping them around is because there's a lot of personal information on your phone, right? You've got credit card numbers stored on there. You've got your password stored on there. There's a fear of that information kind of getting out in the world. And with the data breaches that we've had and security issues, you know, there's reason to be kind of concerned about that. However, there are some very easy ways to do that. I mean, you can just Google it, like Google whatever phone that you have. You can look up how it is that you can clear that off. But even easier, we'll put a link up in our show notes to an article that explains out how to clear out the personal data on all the major phone manufacturers out there.
Yeah, that's great, Matt. Trading in your old phone can be an option too, by the way, but it's usually not the best bet. The exception is when a cell phone company offers you some super sick trade-in terms, right? Promoting a new phone and giving you a lot more than your phone is actually worth in credit towards a newer phone. That happens. But honestly, a lot of times right now, cell phone companies are doing that to try to get you to sign up for a lease. And I don't really like leasing a phone because you're paying, you know, more than half as much as you would be to own the phone. But you never own anything at the end. You're borrowing the phone. You're paying a lot of money every month, and you have nothing to show for it at the end of the day.
Yeah, man, that sucks, right? Not having the ownership of it in the end to be able to sell it and offset the costs. You mentioned this, and I actually looked up my iPhone. So first of all, I can't get anything from my iPhone because it's super cracked. But I put in some like a fake iPhone SE, and if it was in perfect condition, so like no cracks on the screen, no scratches or anything like that, Apple, they actually have this sort of give back program. Like, I don't know, it's called like give it back or something. But my phone, if it was in basically perfect condition, would be worth $70, which isn't a ton of money.
It's not terrible though.
It's not terrible. But then I looked at some of the other sites, right? Like we mentioned Gazelle, and there's a few other ones out there. The same phone in the same condition essentially was only going to be paying out about $30 or $35. So again, those sites are going to be really easy. And even more so to the walk-up sort of eco ATM, but you're not going to get nearly as much money for it as you were if you were to sell it on your own.
Yeah, so here's something you need to keep in mind. Try to keep your phone in good shape to begin with. Consider using protection on it, right? Having a case. You know, Matt and I, neither of us actually use a case. So this is do as we say, not as we do.
Well, no, I do now, right?
Oh, do you really?
Did I tell you the story?
No.
Did we not talk about it? So I used to never put a case on my phone because I'm with you. I like the form factor, the design. So much thought went into the design of the phone, and I just hated putting a clunky case on it.
Yeah, you're covering it up with this giant plastic colorful thing that doesn't slide in and out of your pocket easily.
Yeah, and like OtterBox, like what does that even mean? Like I don't know.
Don't get me started. I mean, they're great. They're great, but I can't do it.
They're very chunky. Anyway, this past year, I dropped my phone after a run because I use my phone for tracking my runs. And in between taking it out of my armband where it's secure and strapped to my arm to me pulling it out to hit the stop button on it, it slipped right through my sweaty hands and freaking cracked it right down the middle of the screen.
Took a dive.
Dude, yeah.
Yeah, for most people, getting a case is going to be the cheapest insurance you can get. You know, those insurance plans through your cell phone provider are really, really expensive. And I would say no to that. So instead, the cheapest way to insure it is to put a case on it or... like we talked about in a recent episode on the lesser known credit card benefits, we talked about getting cell phone insurance. So purchasing your cell phone with a specific credit card that has cell phone insurance, that's the cheapest way to get cell phone insurance.
Yeah, that's right. Just be sure to read the fine print if you're specifically looking for that. Fewer and fewer credit cards are offering that. But specifically, use the Sift app. We mentioned that on that show, S-I-F-T, Sift. That app is awesome, and it's got all the benefits that are listed out. And you recently, it kind of came to your rescue, right?
It already came through in the clutch for me. There are very few credit cards, we mentioned this in the episode, that offer price protection. But one of the credit cards that I use does offer price protection, and I bought something with it.
Your Costco card, right?
That's right.
Yeah,
and the Sift app was tracking a purchase I'd made, and they said, hey, this item's $15 cheaper now. Boom, refund pushed to me immediately. I didn't have to do anything. It was so nice.
Yeah, so they handle it completely, which is freaking awesome. I love that.
It's beautiful.
I haven't had the luxury of actually using it that way yet. I just kind of use it to look at the benefits. I need to make sure I have all of my cards in there so that way they're actually tracking them, and I want to miss it out on those credits, man.
Dude, they're doing the work for you.
I love it.
Brilliant.
That's awesome. Yeah, man. But in the end, what we want to make sure is happening is that you're not just collecting your old electronics, right? Like how many old pieces of electronics do you have in like that specific drawer or like that one box that you keep in your closet with all the cables in it, you know, that you like move from one house to the next that you like haven't cracked open once. I bet you got a cell phone or two in there. And sometimes I see kids even playing with like the old phones, right? Like old phones that you're not using. And that's kind of like an expensive toy that the kid's using that you could have sold.
The biggest bummer is when the kid is playing with a nicer phone model than I actually even have, right? I'm just like, come on.
You see a kid at Target and you're like, holy crap, that's a 6S. I've got an SE, man.
He's like just doodling around on it.
It's like, quick, deactivate my phone and switch it with that kid.
Switch SIM cards right now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, speaking of which, when did you, do you remember when you got your first cell phone?
I do. Well, so here's the interesting thing, Matt. I feel like you and I are at this interesting age because we were kind of in high school when the cell phone thing really started hitting, right? And so there are probably some people out there listening that cell phones have always been a part of their lives. And there are probably people out there that cell phones didn't come around for them until they were in their 30s. And so the fact that they came around when we were in high school, I actually worked for a cell phone company and I actually dressed up as a cell phone on the side of the road for a while.
Weren't you a cell phone like sign spinner?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yep. I wore a cell phone costume. And actually, all right, the best story I got to say, tell it real quick. One time I was standing by the side of the road in my cell phone costume and I had this cardboard cell phone hand, right, that I would wave to mm-hmm. people with. And these dudes pulled up in a Jeep while they were at a stoplight and they pulled out their slingshot. And some paintballs.
Okay. I was like, is this like Dennis the Menace? Like bro style? Like what's going on here?
It totally could have been worse. But they shot some paintballs at me and they hit my little cardboard hand. And it was really, really funny. So yeah, that's my claim to fame right there.
Is that when you got your first cell phone though? When you were working for the cell phone company? Was it like included?
Yeah. And so that's when there were all these like small businesses. So many of the actual cell phone stores were small businesses and right. they would sell a bunch of different provider cell phones through them. And so I worked for this one, JC Wireless, and I dressed up as a cell phone and also got this super cheap cell phone plan through them. I got a discount because I worked there. And yeah, that was my first cell phone, man. I had that big Nokia. You remember that with like a bunch of interchangeable faceplates? That was the cool thing about Nokia, by the way. They had all those faceplates, but you could play Snake on it. And it was delightful. It was delightful.
So I never had a Nokia. So I'm with you. But the first time I got a cell phone was actually in college. So while I was still in high school, my parents both had like fancy, I forget the company, but StarTech. Do you remember those?
No.
This was like more like mid to late 90s.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm old, dude. But it was like the super sexy first clamshell style phone that kind of flipped open and you got to pull up the little antenna. Anyway,
those antennas were so cool.
Dude, super awesome. But I got to take one of their phones anytime I would go out with my friends, because most of the time if I was going out, one of them was going to be home and they had the landline still. So there was no need for me to have my own cell phone while I was still at home in high school. Wasn't until I got one once I went off to college.
So I still remember the first time one of my coworkers, when I was actually working, when I saw a coworker get their first smartphone.
Oh, yeah.
And I will tell you, my initial thought was, that's never going to catch on.
Oh, really?
I was like, it looks so addicting. I don't think I want to do that with my life. And now, just like everyone else, hook, line, and sinker, I bought into it.
Do you miss the days of like the old flip phone, you know, no smart abilities at all?
I miss my Motorola Razr, yeah. Dude. I do. All right, Matt, after the break, we are going to tell people what they should do if they want a new smartphone, but they don't have the cash to get one. All right, Matt, we're back, and let's talk about what to do if you don't have the cash on hand, but you're ready for a new cell phone. First, we would say skip the upgrade. Ask yourself if you really need the new phone. What's your why behind money? Do you really care about fancy electronics? If so, then maybe it's okay for you to save up and to buy a new phone. But are you doing it just because everyone else is and you're just used to upgrading your cell phone every year? That is not a good reason to upgrade. And maybe you should think about trying to extend the life cycle of the phone that you currently have.
Dude, that used to 100% be me. Like waiting in line for the new iPhone.
Was it really?
Yeah.
No.
we've never talked about that before, have we?
This must have been a previous life before I knew
you.
Yeah,
it was like back in my more consumer-driven days. I will say, though, that was because Kate and I actually shared a cell phone, which sounds kind of weird.
When I first met you, I remember that distinctly.
Do you really?
That was a weird thing about you guys.
Yeah, we only had one cell phone.
We all shared a cell phone. It was like, if I'm texting Matt, I'm texting Matt and Kate. Just like the people that have a joint Facebook account as a couple.
Yeah.
It's weird, right? It's weird. So, no, you were that weird guy, but I loved you through it.
Yeah. Well, so here's the reason was because when early on in our marriage, we had started our photography company. And so we were always together, first of all. Or if not, one of us was at home working. And so specifically, Kate had a Google Voice number that she did a lot of her texting from because she was oftentimes working on the laptop. And then we had a second phone, but it was a pay-as-you-go phone. But we paid, say, I think like $20 or $30 for that flip phone. And then we would just pay for like $10 chunks as needed. That way, if one of us was out and you just happened to need it, you just make a phone call or send a text. No problem. Seems like such a distant time now to kind of say all that. But yeah, that's one of the ways that we were able to keep costs down. So because we were able to keep costs down, we were able to kind of justify keeping a more updated phone. So unless you're sharing your phone with your spouse, forego that update.
Yeah, exactly. Also, consider a more affordable phone. something less fancy, right? Buy used or consider getting a used phone from your upgradeaholic friend, right? So if I was friends with Matt back then and he was waiting in line for the new one, I might slyly ask him what he was doing with his old phone.
Exactly.
And maybe I could get it at a cheaper rate because they don't know any better and they're going to get pennies on the dollar going to a site like Gazelle or something like that. And I can get a good deal buying their phone. And there are also so many options for more affordable phones now that honestly have just as many features as the high-end smartphones from Samsung and iPhone. And we'll put a list of a couple in the show notes. But in particular, man, the Moto phones that Google makes.
Moto.
They're really good, man. And there's
I want to hold one of those and kind of get a feel for it.
Yeah, I had one for a while before this LG phone. It was really good. So actually, my last phone was actually a free one that I got, a hand-me-down from my boss.
Nice.
So it was great. I used that tactic myself. She'd gotten a new phone. I said, hey, what are you doing with that old one? Shamelessly. And she just handed it to me. She said, it's yours. So, I mean, anytime, if one of your friends or coworkers knows that they're just going to stick it in a drawer, they're oftentimes more than happy to give it to somebody that they know. And especially like we mentioned with the personal information being on your phone, that's a worry of people and they don't want to sell it. But if they know that they're giving it to someone that they trust, it feels a lot different. And they're happy to just give you that phone as opposed to letting it rot away in a drawer.
Yeah, man, that's true. And another option is to just get your phone fixed, right? Resisting the urge to just upgrade it because of whatever problem you feel like it has. It's really easy to just do some Googling and figure it out. If you're kind of the DIY type, there's a lot of, well, specific for iPhones, there's a lot of these kits out there. I've purchased one before on iFixit.com. And you go on there, you enter in what kind of phone you have, and you just search whatever problem that you have. And they've got these little kits. So if, say, your headphone jack stopped working, well, they've got like a headphone replacement jack kit. Or if your phone needs replacing, it's a more expensive kit because it's a more expensive part and there's more little tools that come with it. But yeah, especially if you're the DIY type, if you like putting things together, you know, if you get excited about putting together IKEA furniture because for whatever reason you're messed up inside, then repairing your own iPhone or your own Moto phone, this, you know, that might be a great option for you.
Yeah, and lots of times you can fix a cracked screen on your own through with some of these like iFixit repair kits, and we'll put a link to iFixit in the show notes.
Yeah.
And the great thing is if you can repair your phone, like fix your screen for $75 or $85, whatever it may cost, that's so much better than going out there and dropping $1,000 on a new phone.
Oh my gosh.
Right? Yeah. So if you can extend the life of it for another 9 to 12 months for $65, $75, I mean, that's really, really worthwhile. Ultimately, you're going to save a lot of money instead of just buying the newest phone. Wait and get a little more life out of the one you already have.
I mean, I know we're talking about this, but I'm thinking about my phone now.
Dude, you should totally repair your own screen. I don't see why you
think I could?
Yeah. And I got to imagine.
I'm pretty handy, but I'm just thinking, like, my battery is doing okay, I guess. Like, it'll last all day. And the phone still works really well. It's just the screen's falling apart. Like, the glass is falling out, specifically.
So here's what I would do. If you really are jonesing for a new phone at this point, then wait until Black Friday and either
look
make
for
it
a sweet deal.
Yeah, either make it last or repair the screen and decide that you're going to make it till at least Black Friday and see how much you can sell your phone for after the fact. But
true.
But definitely the thing you don't want to do is have your phone be on the fritz and be at the whim of whatever time of season it is when you need to buy a new phone.
Yeah.
Because granted, you can buy one on eBay, but searching for the deal and buying at the right time from the right place, that's ultimately going to be the best way to get a new phone for
that's
you.
Right.
But if you can fix it yourself and make it last, man, and you enjoy it and it works fine for you, dude, keep it around.
Dude, I think I kind of like having a cracked screen as well. You know, it's sort of like a badge of honor. It's sort of like driving a beater where you're just like, yeah, that's right. I don't care about these sort of things anymore. Like,
there's something about,
suck it.
Yeah, there's something about having to kind of deal with it for a while and say, you know what? I'm not going to allow myself to get something new because this is a great thing already. I broke it. I'm going to hold on to it. I got to keep it. And you know what? I'm just some sort of consumeristic loser if I decide to upgrade. And no, you don't have to do that. You don't have to buy into that, man. You can deal with a cracked phone. It still does way better than that smartphone Steven's rolling with.
Man, we gave Steven such a hard time last time about that flip phone. And
you want to apologize, but I say no.
Yeah, I love the guy, but like still, man, $100 for a flip phone, that's not the way to go. Sorry, Steven.
I still love him.
Dude, I love this beer is what I love. And we have both drained ours and man, this is fantastic.
Yeah, we drank the new Belgium French Oak Saison. It's a limited release. I got this on the discount rack.
Yeah, you mentioned that earlier. How much did you pick that up for?
I think $3.99, dude.
What?
No joke.
Deal.
Really,
deal.
Really good.
I love that.
And beers like this, I think I mentioned it in an earlier episode, yeah. But beers like this, like the Wild Ales.
Sours.
And the Barrel Aged Stouts, they really last a long time. And so this one in particular is still drinking super, super nice.
Yeah, it drinks like a nice table beer. Like, I think there's more and more breweries that are kind of putting out these sort of easy drinking beers for you to kind of have day to day. Like, it doesn't have to be this huge flavor bomb. But something like this, you could easily have just pretty much with any meal, just nice drinking. Oh, specifically, it's aged in some sort of barrel, right? Like, what did it say? What?
Yeah. It's they're aged in French oak fooders.
Oh, nice. And so it made me think of, as the beer warmed up, it's almost like I was tasting white grapes. Do you feel that?
Completely.
It's sort of like this sort of clear grape juiciness to it. Not in sort of like the IPA juice that we always talk about, but like an actual grapefruit. No, not like grapefruit. You know what I'm saying? But like grapes.
Yeah,
white,
exactly.
White grapes. They like grow white
on
vines. Wine.
Yeah, they grow on vines. Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like it was super drinkable, but not bland. Like super interesting and something I could drink a lot of, but also had interesting flavors going on.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I would much rather have this than like a Pilsner.
Completely.
Right now. I'm still learning how to drink a good Pilsner.
From all the beer heads that I'm talking to, they're all into the Pilsners. Like the people that actually brew beer, they want Pilsners for some reason.
It's hip.
I just haven't gotten into it yet.
Yeah.
But, maybe.
I had one the other day and it kind of tasted like I was drinking a rubbery tennis ball. You know, it kind of had like these rubbery flavors.
It's not usually what I want.
Like garden hose, you know, like it was kind of like this rubbery. Anyway, I'm not selling the Pilsner very well, but we're not having that on the show. So.
I'll stick to the Saisons, buddy.
Yeah, this was a fantastic beer. Perfect here for the beginning of the fall. I'm glad you picked this up, man. Thanks.
All right, Matt, let's get to the final thoughts on how to save money on a new phone. The problem is cell phones are getting more and more expensive, as evidenced by the newest iPhone release. We're talking of upwards of $1,000 for a phone.
That's so much money, dude.
It's just getting ridiculous.
Think about how many beers you could buy with $1,000.
Oh, don't make me cry.
You can't drink an iPhone. Hey, man, specifically, try and keep your phone as long as possible. You know, resist that urge to consume and upgrade your phone every time there's a new release.
Yeah, and you want to know when and where to buy if you are actually going to purchase a new phone. Holding on to your old phone as long as possible is great, but if you're going to buy one, know that Black Friday and Cyber Monday are some of the absolute best times to get a deal on a new phone. And DealNews.com is specifically just an awesome website to kind of keep tabs on cell phone pricing.
Yeah, man, and one of the ways that you can offset the cost of that new phone is to sell the one that you currently have. Make sure it's working, make sure you're taking care of it, but list it. List it on eBay if you want to get the most you possibly can. But, you know, if you don't have a ton of time and your time is very valuable to you, at least consider Gazelle or some of the other sites that will make that process for you much easier.
Yeah, we'll link to those in the show notes. Ultimately, we don't want that valuable piece of electronics collecting dust in a drawer.
Yeah, man. And another thing is to consider a more affordable phone. There's a lot of less fancy phones out there that don't have the latest technology. So yeah, consider buying one of those used phones, or even considering a prior generation, not the very latest one that's just been released.
And I feel like even saying that, Matt, we're talking about the difference between a 12 megapixel camera and a 16 megapixel camera.
It is not much.
The changes have gotten to be so incremental that really you're not giving up much by going an earlier generation or even to a cheaper phone.
I will say I want my next phone to have the portrait mode though, you know, where it makes the background look all soft and bokeh-y.
Whatevs.
I still got to fight the urge, man. my consumeristic nature is still there, especially when it comes to the iPhone. But
just don't watch the ads.
Got to fight the good fight.
Also consider, Matt, getting your phone fixed. So instead of just upgrading because your phone's got like a bug or a problem, consider doing some Googling to figure out what the issue is. And if your headphone jack is messed up,
That's me.
Or your screen is broken.
That's me.
Check out ifixit.com, right? We'll put a link to that in our show notes as well. But there are ways that you can fix up that old phone. And just like Cinderella, go to the ball and win the princess heart.
Actually, you know what it made me think of was Snatch. You know, at the very beginning of Snatch when he's going to buy the trailer or the camper.
Yes.
He's like, what's wrong with this one? It's tip top. It looked like the door's falling off. Oh,
that's such a good movie.
Oh, so good.
I love Guy Ritchie.
Thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate it. Our home on the web is howtomoney.com. We'll have our show notes up there with some links that we referenced in the show.
Yeah, and if you like what you've heard on this podcast and you found it helpful, let us know, please, by giving us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. It just lets other people know about our show. And be sure to subscribe while you're there.
That's right, man. Until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.